السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربي زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما آمين يا رب العالمين. Inshallah, we're going to cover ayah 20 to 23 of Surah An-Nisa today. And we will be completing the fourth juz, inshallah. Let's begin with ayah number 20 of Surah An-Nisa, word meanings. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa, and, in, if, aradtum. The root word here is arada, which means to intend or want, and tum in the end is the pronoun meaning you. All of you. So, aradtum, you all wanted, istibdala. Badal is the root word here, and that means to change. So, istibdala, an exchange, zojin, of a spouse, meaning wife in this case, makana, in place of zojin, a spouse, wa'ataytum. Wa means and ata means to give. Tum, all of you. So wa'ataytum, and you all gave, ihdahunna, ihda, one, hunna, of them, and them refers to women, qintaran, a heap of wealth, fala, fa, so, la, do not, ta'khudhu, you all take. Akhadha is the root word, and that means to take. Da in the beginning means you, and wawalif in the end means this word is plural. So ta'khudhu, you all take, min, from, who, it, shay'an, anything. A means do, and this is used to ask the question here. So it's used before the word to ask a question. So ata'khudhunahu, do you all take it? Akhwada is the root word, which means to take. Da in the beginning means you. Una ending makes this word plural. So, ata'khuduna, do you all take? And then hu at the end means it. And it refers to the treasure or the heap of wealth that was given. So, ata'khudunahu, do you all take it? Buhtanan, as a false accusation or a slander. Wa and ithman, a sin. Mubina, one, clear or open. Wa and kayfa, how? Ta'khudunahu, same word as above without the prefix used to ask a question. So here it's just ta'khudunahu, you all take it. Wa and qad, in fact, afda, benefited, ba'dukum, ba'd, some, kum, of you, ila, towards, ba'd, some, others. Wa and akhadna, they took. Akhadha means to take, and the noon in the end refers to the females. So akhadna, they took, the women took, min, from, kum, all of you, mithaqan, a binding oath, a firm promise, ghaliza, one, strong or firm. Wa and la, do not. Tankihu, you all marry. The root word here is nikah, and that means to marry. Da in the beginning means you, and wawalif in the end means this command is addressing a lot of people, so it's plural. So wala tankihu, and do not marry ma, whom, nakaha, he married, Aba ukum. Aba means fathers or forefathers, and it can mean grandfathers as well. قم yours. So آباء وكم your forefathers or your fathers من from النساء the women إلا except ما what قد in fact سلفا has passed before. إنه إن means indeed who it كان was or is فاحشة an act of indecency a shameful act wa and makotan a hateful thing wa and sa'a how evil sabila a way or path hurimat it was forbidden haram is the root word and that means something that is forbidden something that's unlawful so hurimat means it was forbidden or it is forbidden alay upon Kum, all of you, ummahatukum. Ummahatu means mothers, and that includes grandmothers as well. Kum, yours. Wa and banatu, daughters, and that includes granddaughters. Kum, yours. Wa and akhawatukum, akhawat, sisters. Kum, yours. Wa and ammatukum, ammatu, paternal aunts. A father's sister is called an ammatu. Father's sisters are called ammatu, and then kum, yours. Wa and khalatu. So these are mother's sisters, maternal aunts. Kum, yours. Wa and banatu, daughters. Al-akhi, of the brothers. Wa and banatu, daughters. Al-ukhti. Of the sisters. So banatul akhi means your nieces from your brothers. Okay? As your brother's daughters. And banatul ukhti means your nieces that are your sister's daughters. Wa and ummahatukum. Ummahatu, mothers kum, yours. Allati, whom? Ardhanakum. So allati, who? Ardhana. Ardha means to nurse. To breastfeed. So, أرضانا, نون فتح in the end tells us this is plural and it refers to the women. So, أرضانا, they suckled or they breastfed, كم, all of you. و, and أخواتكم, أخواتو, sisters, كم, yours. من, from, أرضاءتي, the milk suckling or the wet nurse. و, and أمهاتو, mothers, nisa'ikum. Nisa'i means women, right? But here it refers to wives. So nisa'ikum, your wives. Wa and roba'ibukum. Roba'ib means stepdaughters. Okay, kum, yours. Allati, those who, fi, in, hujurikum. Hujur, laps. Kum, yours. Min, from. Nisa'ikum, nisa'i, wives. Kum, yours. Allati. Allati, those who. It means the wives who. Dakhaltum bihinna. Dakhaltum, you entered bihinna with them. Fa, so, in, if, lam, did not, takunu, you all be. Or are the khaltum bihinna? You entered bihinna with them. Fala, then not junaha, any sin alay upon kum, all of you. Wa and halailu, halailu, lawful abnaikum of your sons. Abnai means sons. Kum, yours. So that means the lawful women, the wives, the lawful wives, abnaikum, of your sons, alladina, those who, min, from, aslabikum, your loins. So, vahala'ilu, and lawful wives, abnaikum, of your sons, alladina, those who, and the those who refers to your sons. That's why it's not allati, it's alladina in this case. So the sons who are yours. Your real sons. Wa and an that the jama'u Jama'a means together. Da in the beginning means you. And waw alif in the end means this word is plural. So tajma'u, you all gather or collect. Baina, between. Al-ukhtaini. Ukhta means sister. Al means da, and ukhtaini means two sisters. So we learned already that the ani or aini ending means this is dual. So bain al-ukhtaini, between the two sisters. Illa, except. Ma, what. Qad, in fact. Salafa, has passed before. Inna, indeed. Allaha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kana, he is. Ghafuran, most forgiving. This is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. Rahiman, another attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it comes from Rahim, which means mercy. So Rahiman, one, always, all merciful. Alhamdulillah. Now we'll begin the tafsir of these ayat, inshallah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In ayah number 19, we learned last week that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders men to treat women kindly. There are a couple of examples we'll go over today to understand how the pious men were with their wives, how patient they were with their wives, even though those women were not good to them. Okay, they did not respect or really care for their husbands. There was a scholar with a very obedient son. When that son visited his father, when he visited the scholar, all of the scholar's students were so impressed and they were so surprised to see how obedient he was to his father. So the scholar said to his students, "You are so surprised to see his obedience to me. Do you know that I've been patient with his mother for 30 years when she has said nothing good in those 30 years?" The Imam of Masjid al-Quba told of a great muhaddith with many students. His wife was so rude to him and treated him so badly, but he was so patient with her. One day, he told his disrespectful wife to go with him to the masjid so she would see how honorable he was among the people. When she got there, she saw that there was a huge crowd who really looked up to him. They really respected him. So he asked her how she felt after they returned home. And she said, "I noticed that all those people there were humble, except for you. It didn't seem like you feared Allah." So she chose to say something bad, even after seeing how much people respected him. Okay, after seeing how much respect people had for him, she should have realized that she should respect him. Right? So she should value him, but instead she chose to say something bad even then. And he was still patient after hearing this. So there are women who just pick out negative things in all situations. Okay, they have something negative to say. And we hear about many great muhaddithin. Muhaddithin means people who narrate the hadith. They have studied the hadith in detail, and then they teach others the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there were many great muhaddithin who were so patient with their wives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells men that if they don't like one thing about their wife, they don't know what good there may be in her, or what good can come from her by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should remember that everyone has strengths and weaknesses. Nobody is perfect. And there's nobody who's just bad in every single way. Some people have more of the good qualities than the bad, and others have more of the bad qualities than the good ones. But men are told to ignore whatever they don't like about their wife and focus on the good things about her. For example, if a man doesn't like the way his wife looks, he should be thankful for the other ways in which she is good. Like maybe she is raising his kids very well. Or if she doesn't take care of the house properly like he wants, maybe she is really beautiful to look at. There has to be something about her that he likes. Some men just say that there's nothing good about their wives, but that's actually because they dislike their wives so much that they even start to hate the good things about them. There is nobody that doesn't have any good character traits at all. It's just the perspective of the man that changes, and that's why he says there's nothing good that he can find about his wife. And the perspective change is what makes people start to like or dislike someone. And sometimes people go to extremes and then they actually start to hate the other person. And because of that hatred they feel, that intense hatred, they start to dislike everything about that person. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to look for the positive things in their wives. So we should look for good character traits in people. And women should do the same with their husbands. A woman cannot say that her husband is bad in every way possible. She has to focus and look for the good things in him. There has to be something good about him. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically tells men to look for good things in their wives, the good qualities. Why is it that he especially addresses the men? Because men are the maintainers of the household. They are responsible for making sure they handle things nicely at home. So they're told to do this first. But that doesn't mean that women don't have to do their part. So men should be aware of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders them to do in this ayah. They have to treat their wives kindly. Even if they dislike something about the wife, even if they don't like something about her, there must be something good that they should notice and appreciate. وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ. And if you wish to marry another wife in place of the one you have already, this is when a man has made up his mind about divorcing his wife. When he just can't put up with her anymore. He just doesn't want to be with her. What is that man ordered to do then? وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. Even if you have given them a heap of wealth that the man may want to take back because he wants to divorce her now and marry someone else. So he wants that money for his new marriage or for the new wife. But what should he do? فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Do not take anything of what you have given her. He can't take back anything from her if he intends to let her go. Even the small things that he gave her are hers to keep. And we know that it's forbidden to take back gifts anyway. Right, we learned the hadith already that taking back a gift is as if a dog vomits and then he licks it. Astaghfirullah. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially refers to mehr when he says don't take back anything that you've given them. It means mehr. Even if someone had given a treasure to his wife, he cannot take it back. Of course, there's no fixed amount of mehr, and we learned this already. So that amount of mehr can be set up as a lot, or it can be less, depending on what the man can afford and what the woman prefers. But once it's given, he can't take it back. We learn from this ayah that a man can give a treasure to his wife as mehr too. Okay, it doesn't have to be something that's normal. Once Umar radiallahu anhu tried to stop people from fixing a big amount as mehr for their wives. But a woman stood up and complained. And she said, "Have you not read the ayah in the Quran that says even if a man gives his wife a treasure, he can't take it back? Who are you, O Umar, to restrict this?" So Umar radiallahu anhu responded, "Everyone here is wiser than Umar." And he didn't tell men to not set up a big amount as mehr. That means people are allowed to give a treasure as mehr if they choose to. أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. Would you take it back through slander and open sin, accusing her unjustly? If anyone is trying to take back the mehr that he gave his wife, they are basically accusing her of indecency. And that is a great sin, okay, because it is slander. Men should know that this cannot be done. Unless their wives have committed indecency openly, as we learned already. And men should think about it carefully before giving huge amounts in mehr. Okay, they should know what they can do. And once it's given, they shouldn't even think about taking it back. So they should think about it ahead of time and be careful. وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ. And how could you take it back? وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْدُكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْدٍ. When you have enjoyed conjugal happiness. That doesn't just mean having access to the wives physically, but it also means that you have shared good times together with those wives. And you have enjoyed each other's company too. Remember those good times. Instead of worrying about the money or valuables you would have to give up when she leaves now. Whatever he gave his wife, he cannot take back before the divorce. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them of the good times they enjoyed together. وَأَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. And she has taken from you a firm pledge of marriage. مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا means a firm promise. And it refers to nikah here. Okay, when a man does nikah with a woman, he takes the responsibility of protecting her wealth and her life, honoring her, providing for her, and caring for her. All these things are a part of the agreement. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds men that they have made this important agreement. So how can they back out now and ask the women to give back whatever they gave them? And there are witnesses who are present at the nikah. And people should keep in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of those witnesses. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness too when the nikah takes place. And then there are people that are there also who are witnesses when the nikah is done. Next, we are going to learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered men who used to marry their stepmothers after their fathers passed away. They did it just to keep her share of the inheritance. They inherited those women to be able to keep their share. So the wealth those women inherited after their husband's death would not go. And the sons normally did this because they were just being very greedy. Okay, so they made the women stay there with them just so they would have access to that wealth that they inherited after their father's death. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَنْكِهُ مَا نَكَحَ آبَاؤُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. And do not marry those women whom your fathers had married. آبَاؤُكُمْ includes grandfathers as well as fathers. إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ, except what happened prior to this commandment. Before Islam, it was common for men to do this. But with this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it unlawful for men to marry their stepmothers. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا, surely it was shocking and disgusting. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, and an evil practice. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam found out about a man who did this, and he ordered for that man to be killed, because this is how bad this is. And people only did this out of love for money, because they were just so greedy. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists all the women that men are not permitted to marry. Nikah with any of these women from the list is haram for men. Okay, so they are not allowed to marry any of the women from the list coming up. Some from the list are the ones who are forever mahram for that man. But there are others who he is not allowed to marry for the time being due to some reason or some condition that makes her unlawful for that man. And if that condition is removed, he can marry her. We'll learn about this now, inshallah. حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ أُمَّهَاتُكُمْ, forbidden to you for marriage are your mothers. That doesn't just mean the birth mothers of the man. It includes stepmothers as well. The woman the man's father is married to. Some scholars even say that men cannot marry their stepmothers, even if their father just had a nikah with them, but no physical relations. Even in that situation, men are not allowed to marry those women that were nikahed, or basically just married without living with their fathers. So stepmothers are also mahram, like real mothers. And this is the same with grandmothers. Both paternal grandma and maternal grandmas are all mahram. وَبَنَاتُكُمْ, and your daughters, as well as granddaughters, meaning the daughter's daughters and the son's daughters. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that men are forbidden to marry their daughters, it means their real daughters and their stepdaughters. وَأَخَوَاتُكُمْ, and your sisters and stepsisters also. That includes half-sisters who share the same mother as the man, and half-sisters who share the same father as the man. Once someone asked Ustaza if she could go for Hajj with her stepbrother, because people were telling her that he was non-mahram for her. But Ustaza told her that the Quran tells her that he is mahram for her. So of course she could go with him. So stepsisters are mahram too, just like real sisters. وَأَمَّاتُكُمْ, and your paternal aunts, meaning your father's sisters. وَخَالَاتُكُمْ, and your maternal aunts, meaning your mother's sisters. وَبَنَاتُ الْأَخِي, and daughters of the brothers, meaning your nieces. And وَبَنَاتُ الْأُخْتِ, and daughters of the sisters, who are also your nieces. Note that the list of women here is limited, right? It's a small list. This list of women who are haram for men to marry, it's not very long. And besides these women mentioned, all the other women are halal for men to marry. But sometimes, shaitan actually succeeds in making people mess up with this. And that's why we hear about cases where some men have haram relationships with the mahram women in their lives. And that is a great sin. As for the punishment of a man who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not even look at that person in mercy. And that is the neighbor's wife. Imagine how sinful it would be for someone to do that with a girl from his own family. Astaghfirullah. There are actually girls out there who are not even safe in their own homes or around their mahram relatives. وأمهاتكم اللاتي أرضعنكم. And your mothers who breastfed you. وأخواتكم من الرضاعة. And your sisters who were breastfed by the same mothers as you. The relationships that are mahram are also mahram in rada'a. Okay, like foster brothers and sisters are like real brothers and sisters. If they were breastfed by the same mom, they are basically brothers and sisters. Okay, so the relationships that are mahram are also mahram in rada'a. Meaning when a child is nursed by a woman. So it's haram for that child to ever marry the mother who nursed him. Okay, so that son, that child, when he grows up, he is not allowed to marry the woman who nursed him because she becomes his mother as soon as she breastfeeds him. And that woman's husband becomes that boy's foster father because of her. Okay, like a real father. And their children become that child's foster siblings. So the paternal and maternal aunts from the Roda relationship, who are aunts to those foster siblings, are like that child's own paternal and maternal aunts too. So he can't marry them either. And any nieces or nephews of those foster siblings are that boy's nieces and nephews as well. So he cannot marry any of them, ever. Okay? And this used to happen very often in those times, that people hired other women to breastfeed their babies. So that relationship of rada forms. Okay, and when that happens, that mom and her husband are like a real mom and dad to that child. And the other children who also drank that mother's milk become siblings of that child. However, if that boy was breastfed by the wet nurse, but his brother wasn't, his real brother, he wasn't, right? So that brother of his can marry this boy's foster sister from his foster family because the woman is not that brother's mom. She never nursed that boy, right? So he can still marry that woman's daughter. She only nursed this boy. So his relationship is established as mahram with her family. His other real siblings are still not related to her. And to establish rada, the child must be nursed at least 5 times to the point where the baby becomes full. Okay, so he must have drank enough milk 5 times to be full. And then the relationship of rada'a is established. وَأُمَّهَاتُ نِسَائِكُمْ. And the mothers of your wives. This means that a man's mother-in-law, okay, a man's wife's mom, his mother-in-law is mahram for him forever. So even if he divorces his wife, he can still never marry her mother afterwards. وَرَبَائِبُكُمُ اللَّاتِي فِي حُجُورِكُمْ. And your stepdaughters under your guardianship. That means a man's wife's daughters from her previous marriage. It's haram for that man to marry his wife's daughters from her previous marriage. That is when the woman brings her daughters from her previous marriage with her when she gets married to the new husband. So that man is the guardian of those girls now. Even if they're not his real daughters, he can never marry them. Those girls are mahram for him, just like his own daughters. However, if that man has a son from a previous marriage who wants to marry the new wife's daughter who came from her previous marriage, those two kids can marry each other. That is because those kids have different parents, right? Completely different parents. For example, the guy is the husband's son from another woman, and the girl is the wife's daughter from another father. So they have completely different parents from each other. They are allowed to get married in that case. But for the man, the girl is like his own daughter. So those stepdaughters are like your own daughters. They are mahram for you. They are in your care. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fi hujurikum min nisa'ikum allati dakhaltum bihinna." They're in your laps from those wives with whom you have consummated your marriage. Once a man has physical relations with a woman after nikah, her daughters from her previous marriage are mahram for him. But if the man has a nikah done with the woman and he divorced her even before they were intimate, her daughters from her previous marriage are not rabiba for him. Okay, and because the word rabiba means the daughters of the woman a man marries after he has been intimate with that woman after the nikah, those daughters from her previous marriage become rabiba for that man. So those girls become the stepdaughters of that man. And their relationship becomes that of a father and daughter. These situations were common in Arab society because women had daughters from previous marriages that they brought along. And even if the daughters don't move in with the mother, like the example of girls who stay with their father after the parents get divorced, when the woman gets married to another man, her daughters naturally become rabiba for the new husband then too. Even if they don't live with the woman and her new husband, even if they're not raised in their home, they are still the stepdaughters of that new husband. And he cannot marry any of them. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُونُوا دَخَلْتُمْ بِهِنَّ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ. But there is no blame on you in marrying your stepdaughters if you have not consummated your marriage with their mothers, whom you have divorced. Again, that is only if that man has not been physically intimate with that girl's mother, and he divorced the mother. We went over this already. وَحَلَائِلُ أَبْنَائِكُمُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ أَصْلَابِكُمْ. And the wives of your own sons, meaning your real sons. The men are never allowed to marry the wives of their real sons, even after the son divorces his wife. They are always forbidden. Okay, the son's ex-wives are always forbidden for the man to marry. But men can marry their adopted son's ex-wife. And we learned that from the nikah of Zainab radiallahu anha to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Zayd radiallahu anhu divorced her, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to marry her, to make it clear to people that they can marry their adopted son's ex-wife. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants people to know the difference, that men are not allowed to marry the wives, the ex-wives of their real sons, ever. Okay? But they are allowed to marry the ex-wives of their adopted sons. وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. And you are also forbidden to take in marriage two sisters at one and the same time, except what happened prior to this commandment. That means a man cannot marry the sister of his wife while his wife is in his nikah. But if that man and his wife get divorced, or if the wife passes away, then that marriage ends. So then he is allowed to marry her sister, but he cannot marry two sisters and have them both in his nikah at the same time. That is forbidden. Like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam got one of his daughters married to Uthman radiallahu anhu. After she passed away, he got his other daughter married to him. But a man cannot get married to two sisters at the same time. He can't be married to two sisters at once. Similarly, we learn from hadith that a man cannot be married to a paternal aunt and niece at once, or a maternal aunt and niece at the same time. So the niece's husband is also mihram for a woman until that niece and her husband are married. As long as that niece is in that man's nikah, he cannot marry one of her aunts from her father or her mother's side. Okay? Inna Allah kana ghafurur rahima. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving. He is always all merciful. He gave these orders as protection for women because there is so much interaction between people who are related in these ways mentioned here. People visit those relatives' homes very often, or they live together. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not forbidden people to marry those certain people, whether they are related due to being family or in-laws, there would have been a chance of transgressing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these rules as protection for women. As for other men, women only see them when they leave their house anyway, right? And they're covered up when they leave their homes, so they are already protected. And the other time they would come across other men, like the non-mihram men, is if someone visits their home while a mihram of hers is present. Right, so that mihram is there for her protection even then. As for the relatives listed above, those men are around at home, or there's a lot of interaction with those men. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these rules as a blessing for women, a form of protection for them, to avoid any problems that may arise. And note that the relatives listed here are the only mihram relatives. Okay, they are the only people who are mihram. None besides these in this list. So if anyone claims that their cousin or their family friend is their mihram, they are wrong. And there's reasons for why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made certain people mihram and not others. Even if we don't understand those reasons, just know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise and trust Him. He knows best. So we have to follow these rules. Once we learn these rules, it's easier for us to know when we can be relaxed around which people, like which men out of our relatives, you can be relaxed. Okay? And as for the rest of the men who are non-mihram, it is haram for women to display their beauty in front of. So we have to be careful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to understand these ayat properly and implement them. And may He forgive all of us for what has passed. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah, we'll finish up here because we complete the fourth juz here. And we will begin juz 5 next week, inshallah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم منزل الكتاب سريع الحساب اهزم الاحزاب اللهم اهزمهم وزلزلهم آمين يا رب العالمين جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.